Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Here on Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius, Channel 159, Lisi holding it down, getting you prepped and ready for NFL and college action this coming weekend. There is absolutely nothing better. We're in the heart of October, baby. You know what that means. It's a little Oktoberfest, a little pumpkin spice coffee, a little snot in the nostrils. That's football weather, baby. That's what it's all about. Can't wait. Great games on tap in terms of college football. The marquee Pac-12 matchup in Seattle. We got Oregon and Washington. Something's got to give. Bo Nix, Michael Penix. We'll break it down as the show progresses. We got the big battle in Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. 3-point favorites right here on FanDuel against USC. They've won four straight against Caleb Williams and USC. Caleb Williams and that USC defense last week on life support. Alex Grinch has no idea what he's doing. I don't know what he does in terms of the week prep. Is he eating Lunchables? What does this guy do? Does he break down game film? Absolutely atrocious. As we welcome him in, our Sirius XM radio audience right here on Sports Grid Radio, Carver and Lisi. Lisi getting you prepped and ready for college football week number 7. As we welcome in our Sirius XM radio audience to Carver and Lisi. Lisi getting you prepped and ready. That's right, for college football. Huge weekend on tap. Carver's out in the Adirondacks, Nantucket. He's playing a little golf, drinking a little beer. Mike's Buffet. Carver's been hot as a pistol lately in college, in pro, the golf. You just want to come? It's $4.99, no bib included, Mike's Buffet. You get a five-course meal when Mike...
Lobster and crack crab for everyone. Extra prima good, Mr. Coleman, sir.
That's it. That's Mikey right now. That's where he is, Nantucket. He's out there living large. He's got the bib on. I wonder if he wears the plaids when he goes to Boston and the greater Northeast. I wonder. You know, you got to see.
Well, he's having a good one, Joe. You know, if you follow Mike on Twitter, he said he shot one of his best shots at Cape Cod today on the golf, and he also had his late pint, you know, late in the afternoon, not an early guy for the pint, Mike Carver.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, he has a few of those pints. He loves his brew. Let me tell you that. I'm just red wine, but that's okay. We'll see if he's eating, no bib included, at Mike's restaurant. $4.99. He's going to be living large. I'm going to take him down too this week. He's going to be calling on Friday night. We got the college and pro picks, so keep an eye out for that. Okay, in terms of everything, we'll get you prepped and ready for all of the action as it relates to college and NFL. Okay, I was hot as a pistol heading into the NFL action. Got smashed over the face with a 1-3 mark. Thank you, Trucker Larry, if you're listening. He put the kibosh on me in terms of the NFL. The only game I won was Cincinnati, but we're going to rebound in terms of a big way in the college. I see the board very clear. I can tell you that. Love a lot of games. But to get back to the Pac-12 for a second, And I think the perception is USC is on the hot seat. USC has the pressure heading into this matchup in South Bend. And potentially undefeated season on the line. Caleb with the Heisman. This team has now played down to the level of competition in regards to back-to-back weeks against Colorado and last week as against Arizona. Three overtimes, they laid 21 and 20 and a half respectively. And now they're catching 3 points. They've lost four straight to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The last four in South Bend by an average margin of defeat of 15.7 points per game. So it seems like the pressure is on USC here, but they have the better quarterback. They have the better big game coach in terms of Lincoln Riley. And they have a team in Notre Dame that has left answering major questions. You know, Sam Hartman did not look good last week. Turnover prone, looked like he was a little inconsistent with the reads and progressions against Jeff Brohm's defense. Going up against the Cardinals, Audric Estime, that offensive rushing attack, a little inconsistent. And if Marcus Freeman loses this ball game, questions are going to start to surround him as a head coach in regards to too big too soon. And again, that's not a knock on Marcus Freeman. He was one of the most dominant defensive coordinators and deserving of the job. But sometimes it takes a while to get acclimated. Other times, coaches and coordinators hit the ground running in terms of their first couple of years. And a case in point, I think, would be Dan Lanning in regards to Oregon. You know, I thought Dan Lanning could have been a fish out of water. He has rebounded and done a fantastic job. He gets blown out week one against Georgia, goes on an absolute heater, takes a quarterback in regards to Bo Nix that wasn't thought of very highly in the SEC and has cultivated it. Now, Kenny Dillingham was a major part of that, but the consistency has continued now with a new offensive coordinator and Dan Lanning running that team and running that organization. He has done a fantastic job. Marcus Freeman, the defense has been there. The offensive inefficiencies, though, have continued not just from the early part last year, but in the early part this year. It looked like they were going to be a playoff caliber team. He did not utilize, in my opinion, Sam Hartman properly against Ohio State. I think that was an opportunity to turn Sam Hartman loose, especially since the game was close. That's why you had Sam Hartman in South Bend. Obviously, having 10 players on the field for both plays at the end, that's a bad look. And then to have the letdown spot against Louisville, and even though they're undefeated, to have that letdown last week and to lose it the way you did by double digits, this is a lot of pressure on Marcus Freeman to have this team ready, to have this team prepared to respond against the Heisman Trophy winner. And on the flip side, Alex Grinch has pressure as well, because in order for USC to make a run, that defense needs to show progression. They don't have to be elite. They just need to show progression, and they have not done that from the start of the year. So we'll see how this game plays out. I'm starting to like USC more and more because of the veteran quarterback play, because of the coaching experience of Lincoln Riley. I think the Trojans, as a dog, could pull this ball game out now in South Bend. We're just getting started. When we come back, we'll break down more top 25 battles in college football. Coming right back. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's have a party right here on Carver and Lisi. Drinks for everybody. Drinks are always on the house here. You don't have to worry. Meet us in AC. Let's rock, baby. I mentioned the games in terms of the top 25. There's some under-the-radar games and lower tier in terms of the teams that are pretty intriguing. We'll talk about later Missouri-Kentucky. I think that's an intriguing game, especially how Missouri lost last week in regards to the pick six. I mean, to lose the game and then lose the cover. I mean, Missouri backers were absolutely kicked in the chops. Brady Cook and that offense couldn't do anything in terms of the last 5 minutes of that ball game. Kentucky, they should respond. I think the biggest thing, too, in regards to that is, you know, which team can run the football effectively? You know, Kentucky, Ray Davis had a little success. Game was already in doubt in regards to that game with Georgia. Offensive line, I believe, is a little more physical for the Kentucky Wildcats. And I think the difference is that Missouri has the much more cohesive passing attack. They have the offense that could probably put up 30 points easy in this ballgame, the way Cook distributes the football. You saw Devin Leary again in a big spot, questionable entering that game last week, only 57% completion percentage. He's a prototypical dropback passer. He's not going to tuck it in run. There's no threat in regards to the RPO game like you had with Jaden Daniels last week. So it's going to come down to, can Ray Davis have success? If he can't, I give the edge to Missouri in a bounce-back spot. Now, Mizzou typically plays Kentucky. These games go down to the wire. It's always a tight ball game. I lean to Missouri in a bounce-back spot there. Don't love the game. Total is 50.5. I feel like these games always go typically under. Just because I remember the game a couple of years ago with Terry Wilson and the Wildcats where they were on the door. That ball game was like 15-14. So I feel like typically this is, even though Missouri's high scoring, I would lean to the under 50.5 in terms of that ball game. I want to go a little bit deeper in regards to the games in college football. Some other games that I sort of like that I've noted that I haven't decided if I want to put them on the best bet card. But Utah against California. Now, Utah, we know about their home winning streak in regards to Rice Eccles. We saw California step up, put up 40 points against Oregon State. The question is, can California run the way they did on Utah's front seven? Utah got absolutely crushed by Oregon State with Nate Johnson about a week and a half ago. Can they step up and have a much better offensive effort? I think they can. And I think that not only do they cover the line, and I believe the line was 13.5 at the start of the week, so it's already down. But I like the over, 44.5 in this ballgame. Because I believe that they're going to be able to run it on the front seven of Cal. Now, Cal's front seven, very good entering that game last week against Oregon State. They were only giving up around 115 yards on the ground. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that on the road against Utah. I think Utah's able to wear them down. I think the front seven could stuff the run against the Bears, and I do feel that they can force some turnovers with their quarterbacks. I think that is something to keep an eye out on. I like the over in regards to Cal and Utah in regards to this ballgame. I think that could be in the 50s, and it might be all Utah one-sided. They might win this ballgame potentially like 38-17, but I think they definitely can get there on their own because of the physicality of the rushing attack. Another game, interesting, BYU and TCU. You got BYU catching 5.5 in this ball game. Interesting. It's an interesting type of situation here. The line suggests BYU could be live. And BYU, again, a physical team, getting good quarterback play. They went to Fayetteville. They went to Lawrence. They play well. Now, they couldn't close it out against the Jayhawks. That was a finesse type of team, and that's what you're going to see here in TCU. But I like the way they play. And catching 5.5 points, I think they're live in regards to this ballgame. I would lean to the under there in terms of that matchup, and we'll dive deeper into it in regards to the total and maybe specifics. It might be on the best card as well. But keep an eye out for that in regards to that ball game, like BYU, with the points in regards
Joe,
to
Joe, I got one for you, brother. I got one for you that it's been itching me all week long. The bailout special, baby. My Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in Aloha Stadium, or excuse me, right at the campus university, no longer.
Yeah, I love it.
At the stadium against San Diego State, man. What are you doing with this game? Bailout special, baby.
Yeah, I'm taking Hawaii plus the 6. I don't like San Diego State this year. I don't like Maine. I don't like the quarterback play. And their identity is lost. Again, their team, and Brady Hoke has done a pretty good job taking over for Rocky Long. But again, it's almost like the identity, Mateus, in regards to they were known to run the football, play very solid rush defense, force turnovers, and play solid third down defense. They're not getting consistent quarterback play. They can't push the ball if they play from behind. And that is the matchup, I think. I think when you look at it overall, just look at their rushing defense right now. 184 rushing yards allowed. 5.2 yards per carry. That is not what you've grown accustomed to in regards to San Diego State defense. You know, back in, just think about it. Back in 21, they were giving up 82 rushing yards per game. 82, 2.7 yards per carry. In 21, their third down defense was giving up only 31% on third down conversions. You look at this year, 42%. If you can't get off the field, that means other teams with better quarterbacks have more opportunities to score points. And I just don't buy it. I think they're going up against one of the better passing attacks, and I'm taking Hawaii here. Now the total, I want to take the over. I do, but I don't know if I could pull the trigger. I'm trying to get the total here. It's a 11 o'clock kick. 52 and a half.
This game scares me a little bit, Joe. You know why? Because Hawaii can't run the football. That's the one thing Hawaii can't do. They don't run for squat, man. They could throw the ball all around the yard, though. We might as well just take Schrager over the yards, right?
Well, that Schrager's been fantastic. I mean, do they have a total for him in this game? They don't have it yet, do they? Nothing. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he was tops of FBS. In regards to his passing numbers. You know, now I understand he's come back down, but here's the thing, too. Just because Hawaii throws it doesn't mean that the tempo won't get to San Diego State and they open up rushing lanes. Now, Hawaii's defense has given up 34 points per game. They're rushing it only for 58, right? They're so pass heavy. I would still take, you know what I would do? You're going to laugh at me. I would take the Hawaii team total, and let's take Hawaii on the money line, and let's take the starting running backs if they put it, because their numbers are going to be cheap. That's the way we play. Take Hawaii with the points. Saturday bailout blowout special. Coming right back with NFL week number 6.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Get me the ball, Danny. I'd run through a wall for Gene Hackman. Why not? Oh, I love it. Love it. Mateus Prebel with the tunes. Awesome. Pumps you up for football season, baby. We left off talking about college football week 7. We'll transition to the lines in regards to NFL. And some great games in regards to matchups. We got the game early in the week, or early in the day, I should say, 9:30 kick in regards to Baltimore and Tennessee. You got a 41.5 total, juice to the under minus 115. Baltimore's minus 4. Here's the problem, and I talked about it with Carver during the week, and I understand Baltimore. Inconsistent, and again, I put some of that on Lamar. I understand the receivers drop passes, but still, he's still struggling in terms of the deep ball. He's struggling to just let it rip when the guys are open. And that confidence needs to be there. And they need to have a passing identity if they're going to make any type of run to potentially win an AFC championship. On the flip side, when you look at the line, and as you say, 4 points, it's Mike Vrabel, it's Tannehill, it's Derrick Henry. And you go, okay, you know, this team should be carried by the rushing attack. Really? Well, Derrick Henry has a prop of 63.5. This is a guy that just dominates in regards to every time he has touched the football against AFC South opponents. And just, you know, in division, AFC, and you think about the title run when they went toe-to-toe with Kansas City, right? He hasn't run at all. The only game that he broke out was against Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, where he rushed for 122 yards on the ground, 5.5 yards per carry and a touchdown. And you would think that, you know, they would follow that up last week in regards to pounding the rock with Henry. And no, they don't. They have no identity. They were afraid to utilize him for whatever reason. And they wound up losing the ball game. And I said, Mike Vrabel looks like his mentor and predecessor in terms of Bill Belichick. And the reason why I bring that up is he doesn't look like he understands how to win football games anymore. And I understand he got the victory over Joe Burrow a couple weeks ago. But in terms of doing what you should do, he just doesn't follow the script. That was a team in Indianapolis that the week before allowed Kyren Williams and the LA Rams to pound the rock for over 4.5 yards per carry, and Kyren Williams had 103 rushing yards on the ground. So you say, okay, Tennessee should run it. They finished with 89 yards on the ground. They averaged 4 yards per rush. Derrick Henry touched the football in that ballgame 13 times for 3.5 yards per carry. And they lose it by 7 to Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson. You tell me, what are you doing all week, Vrabel? Do you understand how to game plan? Or you're trying to be so smart you look stupid? Because the fact that you put the ball game on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders and he completes 23 of 34 for 264 and an interception is absolutely ridiculous to me. So DeAndre Hopkins has 8 for 140, but your star player touched it only 13 times. Explain that to me. That was a must-win game if you're a Tennessee fan. So when we look at this ball game going up against Baltimore, I don't love the passing attack of the Ravens. I don't love how they've progressed and utilized some players like Zay Flowers. I don't like the fact that he's not really going consistently each and every week to Mark Andrews. He's not understanding where he needs to go, whether he's got a backup, a third stringer. He's not challenging defenses over the top. And that's taking away the productivity of the rushing attack. I think they could potentially break out in this ballgame. The reason why I say that is because you look at Anthony Richardson in regards to last week. He completes 9 of 12 for 98 yards. He didn't really get going in regards to the rushing attack, 2 of 5. But if Lamar starts to break contain, that could open up the passing game, and he could have success. I would only lay it with Lamar Jackson in this ballgame. Might be a best bet as well, because I'm just not sold in regards to where Tennessee is from an identity perspective. And there's a lot of teams like that in the NFL. Tennessee has an identity problem. I think you look at the New York Giants, they have an identity problem. I think you look at New England, major identity problem. They don't understand the type of team they want to be, and they don't have the personnel to even run what they're trying to do. That is the problem. Most of these teams, Tennessee, no speed on the perimeter. Hopkins is good. I think he's better than good. But outside of that, Treylon Burks hasn't lived up to expectations. The secondary, Nick Westbrook, pedestrian, average. I mean, these players aren't scaring anybody in terms of the passing game. They're not helping out the rushing attack in any capacity. The reason why Miami is so effective in regards to their type of offense with McDaniel, he's an outstanding schemer. He understands how to get his players one-on-one opportunities, but they have speed on every level. Running back, 4-3, 4-2. Wide receiver, one, not two of them, Waddle and Hill. They have the ability to always stress the defense at every level. Short, intermediate, and long. And not just in terms of the rushing, passing attack. The rushing attack, too. The way they utilize motion because they have the speed to create mismatches. Most teams do not have that in terms of today's NFL. Some do, most don't. The successful ones do. The under 500 and the teams that can't score points don't. And on top of it, they don't have elite defenses to keep them in the ballgame. And that's why most of them are struggling right now. And you could throw Tennessee into the mix. Give me Baltimore in that ballgame. We talked about it in regards to Seattle and Cincinnati. I know Seattle has done a fantastic job, 3-1 overall. They beat up on the Giants. They have Geno Smith. They're coming off a bye week. I get it. Pete Carroll is has done a fantastic job. You look at Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, 846 yards. The problem that I have is I do not believe Kenneth Walker will be a factor in terms of the rushing attack in this ballgame. I just don't buy it. The reason why I say that is because I believe Cincinnati will stuff the box. I think the secondary will have success forcing some turnovers over Geno. And you look at last week, what they did to James Conner. I understand Conner got hurt. He did rush for 142, but they held him to 3 of 14 in terms of third down conversions. I like that recipe. I think they can get quarterback pressures. I do not believe Seattle is going to be able to run the football on the front seven of Cincinnati. Just don't believe that. I think their front seven is above average. I think their defense is potentially elite, especially if they're trending towards a playoff appearance. I give the edge to Burrow in the offense right now. And again, I'm
Joe,
not sold
on do you no. think that their last game was some sort of a boost, you know? Or to the point where it's like a restart to their season completely, because last week was the best version we saw of Cincinnati all season long. So it makes me wonder, you know, what kind of win streak can this team actually go on? And how healthy can they stay?
I said it to Carver and I'll say it again. The fact that Burrow came out last week and said that this was the healthiest he's been in a while, and he duplicated that by throwing for 317, going to Chase, completing his first 7 passes for 56 yards, I got to believe him. And in order for this team, Matias, to take the next step, they need the rushing attack as well. Mix in those running backs need to have success as well. Can't just be Joe Burrow. As Burrow goes, so does the wins and losses. That's a huge step, but you want to see a little bit more offensive balance. Let's not forget, when they made the championship run against L.A. a couple of years ago, Joe Mixon in the championship game against Kansas City had like 80 yards on the ground. You look at the rushing attack, Mixon again in the game against Buffalo had, I believe, like 75, 80 yards on the ground, most of it in the second half to potentially seal the deal. And the rushing attack is always important when you're on the road playing with a lead. You need to obviously sustain drives. So, again, I think that would be the final piece. But as long as they get this victory over Seattle, I think they're back. And let me ask you this. 40-1 on Joe Burrow. When have you ever seen that in terms of his career? Outside his rookie season, maybe. Great value to potentially steal the Super Bowl and, more importantly, an AFC championship. We'll come back. More college and pro football right here on Carver and Lisi, baby. Keep it where it is. Locked and loaded.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we're calling Carver this week, the champ. You'll get your chance, champ. You'll get your chance. That's it, Carver. I'm talking to you, baby. Out there in Cape Cod, I hope you he's not listening. You'll get your chance. Don't worry about it. You'll have a shot at the title. I took you down in college football. You smacked me over the face with a shovel in terms of the NFL, but we'll get back on track. We'll rip through a couple of specials, and FanDuel has done a fantastic job with this on both the college and pro side. I'll give you some specials. They have, like, SEC specials now. They have weekly specials. So let's talk about this. Every SEC team to score one plus rushing touchdown Saturday only is 15-1. Now, I sort of like that. The only caveat to that would be the Georgia-Vanderbilt game. Do we believe Vanderbilt is going to get a rushing touchdown against Georgia? They're playing at home. It's possible, but I don't know if I like that one. I don't like that one. I think you'll get one, obviously, in Arkansas and Bama, not just on Bama's side, but potentially with K.J. Jefferson, Raheem Sanders. We know about Jabari Wright and Small for Tennessee in that rushing attack, 231 on the ground. That happens to go right into the strength of A&M, so that might be difficult. And we know about the front seven of Tennessee, pretty stout as well. So that game might be a little iffy. And then, you know, Kentucky going up against Missouri, you got to believe it's Ray Davis can eat a little bit. And now Missouri can cook and that rushing attack take over as well. And then Auburn, LSU, everybody scores on LSU, so you got to love that. And Jaden Daniels always seems to tuck it and run. You got Diggs. You got Josh Williams. Florida, South Carolina. South Carolina might be the one. They struggle in terms of consistency for much of the year under 3 yards a carry. So I don't know if I would be on this bet. We'll see if we could find something else. How about this? Each SEC team to score one plus field goal at 26-1. I hate kickers. If you're taking this, you're relying on a kid to make a imagine you hit, like, you know, how many SEC games are there this week? Let me get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six SEC games. You got to rely on, I mean, potentially 12 kickers coming through. Not good. Not good in regards to that. I can't really. 12 kickers coming through. I hate kickers. I'd say no to that one. How about this one? Nah, this one's dead too. Each SEC team to score one touchdown, one field goal, 50-1. We don't believe that Vanderbilt's going to come through. That would be the one that I'd worry about. Auburn as well in regards to the totals. Let's see if we could go deeper. How about this? Each Pac-12 team to score one touchdown and one field goal, 14-1 for Saturday only. So let's go through the Pac-12 slate, okay? Let's go through this, and let's see if we can actually pick up some winners. It's just Saturday. Cal and Utah. I believe Utah always plays for field goals, so that would be good. I like Utah to score a touchdown and a field goal. Cal, they put up 40 last week against Oregon State. Most likely, they're going to have a tough time scoring touchdowns. They'll probably get the field goal first. All right, so I would say in Cal, Utah, you have a good shot. Oregon, Washington, definitely a good shot, 37-34, two elite quarterbacks. Defense has given up some yards, And third down defenses for both teams, not elite. So you have Washington giving up 41%, Oregon giving up 47%. The ability for offenses to sustain drives, I like that game to go over. Arizona. If I'm Arizona, I don't put Jaden Delora back in. I let the kid Noah Fifita cook and just attack. You got to believe that Cam Ward and that offense potentially could put up a touchdown and a field goal. So, you know what? I like it for that game. USC and Notre Dame. Why not? Right? Let's get USC and Notre Dame. Let's get both teams. And UCLA and Oregon State, done. I think that's the one. We're going to do it. Each Pac-12 team to score a touchdown and a field goal Saturday only, 14-1. I like it. I like it a lot. What do you think, Matias? You like that? What do you think, baby?
Joe, you already got me on it, baby. I already clicked away. I clicked away. You got me all rattled up. Let's go.
I took it. Why not? Now, the thing that people need to understand, Matias, is I think it's just a Pac-12 team. So you don't need Notre Dame to come through. It says every Pac-12 team. So you just need USC to get through that. There might be an asterisk there, so keep an eye out. But that is something that I'm on. So what do you think about that? I took it. I'm on it. We're in. So we'll see how that plays out for us. We're hoping for every Pac-12 team. We'll jump to the NFL side. Let me see if I can get any more, and then we'll jump to the NFL side. The Big here's we'll take a look at the Big 12. How about this one? Each Big 12, now this one doesn't have enough juice, but each Big 12 team to score one rushing touchdown plus 340. Let's take a look at the Big 12. Big 12, we got, it starts on Saturday. We only have four games. You got Iowa State on the road to Cincinnati. Cincinnati and that offense like to pound the rock with Satterfield. You got Iowa State and Rocco Beck that like to run the football as well. Kansas and Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon got going. Kansas, even with Bean at the helm, potentially could get a touchdown. Kansas State and Texas Tech, they like to run the football. Even though Will Howard likes to throw it, they run the football. And Texas Tech, Taj Brooks, Big 12 Player of the Week last week with that offensive line. And BYU and TCU. How about this one, Matias? You win with me on this one? It's small, plus 340. Four games. What do you think? Can I get you in? Can I get you in? He's not.
Absolutely, Joe. I'm all in. I'm all in, literally. I, right now, I'm typing away, trying to find every little game that
I
you
did
just
that
said.
One too. So,
Pac-12, we got the Big 12 with the rushing. We're rolling right now.
And last one is this. I don't know if I buy this one. I want to see something for crazy value. 10-1. Now, that was the Pac-12. 8-1 each Big 12 team to kick a field goal. 8-1.
You know what, Joe? I'd go with that. And you know why I'm going to go with that? Because you keep picking on kickers. And I have a bone to pick with you on that because I was a kicker, Joe. I kicked in high school. I wasn't the best kicker, but I did attempt to kick,
Joe. I hate
and it was a hell of a job I had, Joe. It was a hell of a job.
So you're going to get me in on this one, too? I mean, this one's ridiculous. I mean, why can't you got four games? You're telling me we can't get a field goal in four games? I did that one, too, Matias. Okay? So we're in. I did the 8-1 Big 12 just for you, field goal kickers, just so you don't get upset. Let's go to the NFL side for the weekly specials. The NFL side has some crazy ones as well. And this is on FanDuel and more NFL. Go to the weekly specials. Highest scoring game only. No Justin Jefferson. Right? They're talking about Kirk Cousins being traded. You got Justin Fields throwing back-to-back games with four touchdowns. 10-1 for the Vikings and Minnesota and Bears to be the highest scoring game? You're kidding me, right? I like that. I like that a lot. I'm taking that. How about this one? One more. Last year, when they had the game last year, Raiders and Patriots, what was the total in that game last year? Wasn't that a crazy total, Raiders and Patriots? That was the Jacoby Myers game where Jacoby lateraled it on the last play of the game, and I think they lost like 34-28, something crazy like that. I like the Patriots, Raiders at 13-1. And
Joe, you know what I like? I think a high-scoring game next week that nobody's talking about is the last game on the slate, Monday Night Football in Los Angeles. The Chargers taking on the Cowboys.
Doesn't count.
I think there's going to be a lot of points.
Well, I like the over, but it doesn't count. It's Sunday only, Matias.
Okay, that gets tricky then.
Well, then you know what I'm doing? Here's what I did. I did it three teams, three games. Vikings, Bears, 10-1. Commanders, Falcons, 12-1. Patriots, Raiders, 13-1. That's what I'm doing.
I almost like all of them. I definitely don't like the Falcons game because they're a dead under team right now, Joe. Falcons are a dead under team. They like to run the ball. They like to control the time of possession. You know, that feels like a 21-17 or a 24-21 type of game. I think a sleeper game is the Dolphins game against the Panthers, Joe, because the Dolphins could have point. They could put up points at will. You know, they could drop 45 on the Panthers. The Panthers suck. We don't know how they're going to show up.
I know, but I like Bryce Young. I don't know. I'm taking the
I like his improvement. You know, I think Bryce Young has been improving from week to week, but at the end of the day, this is a road game for them. And Miami's flying high. You know, that would be like going against Miami last week when they were minus 14.5 points at home. And you know what? They covered. Because they're scoring at will. They didn't even play good last week, Joe.
How about we do this? Highest scoring team only. Bears at 33-1.
I like that, Joe. I'm with you. I think Justin Fields actually throws for another three touchdowns, maybe possibly even four against this Vikings defense.
I took it.
And this, how close are the Vikings to just throwing down the towel? That team is running low on weapons.
Let me ask you this, and I'll tell you who I picked for the conference. In terms of the NFC right now, I don't like it because I don't like him as a coach. Dennis Allen, but at 18-1, the Saints have a little life with that defense, no? 18-1, I think the Saints are alive. And I'm still buying into the Rams. You're telling me the Rams at 45-1 now with Cooper Kupp back in that lineup can't potentially challenge for an NFC championship? I'm just saying, look, all they have to do is have a run. They could be 9-8, creep into the playoffs. And you got Cooper Kupp, Stafford back. You got Aaron Donald. You're playing with a little bit of house money, 45-1. I don't know. Seems too good to be true. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I got a hunch. I'm going to be hot as a pistol. College and pro picks coming up on Friday. For a quick recap, Carver will be with us. First hour for the college picks, second hour for the NFL picks. That's how we're going to do it in terms of all of the action to get you prepped and ready. We get you prepped and ready Friday. We get you all the picks for the weekend. We also tweet it out. You could tune into Carver on Twitter and X at Carver High, and then I'm at Go for the Two. So check it out. That's the number two. You could always tweet us about games in regards to that. We talked about potentially the Rams. I'll give you some other thoughts in regards to potential value. We talked about the NFC, the quick AFC odds right now in terms of who would you take a shot on to potentially steal it. I mean, I keep saying Joe Burrow. I mean, if they're going to get hot, I still like Joe Burrow to potentially be that team to carry and make the playoffs. Look at his number right now in regards to They don't have it to make the playoffs. They have other teams like that. The Rams, I'll just give you a plus 250. I like that. That might be on the betting card with the Commanders. You're going to have to tune in Friday to Carver and Lisi in regards to all of the picks. For our great producer, Matthias Burbell, for Mike Carver, Mikey's Buffet, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Coming right back tomorrow with the picks. Enjoy it, baby.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.